I respect the fact that Kyle Korver was brought there with a purpose. We know why he was brought there, and he clearly knows what his role will be and what's expected of him on day one when he goes there. They're going to win, and they're going for it right now.
Rick Bucher. I'm a big Kyle Korver fan just because I think he's a good guy. I think he makes the most out of what he has. I don't think he has illusions about who he is and what his game is. All that said, I feel as if the Cavs in this move are more like the Warriors in that you have a guy like it's we're fighting offense with offense, but Korver is, as much as he tries to do the right thing defensively, he's a liability defensively.
This is the BJ Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring BJ and Bucher.
BJ Armstrong may not be aware of it, but we are actually recording the podcast as I speak. This is the BJ and Bucher Four Quarters of Madness.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt your flow. We're trying to do a podcast here.
Hot mess.
I'm Rick Bucher. He's BJ Armstrong. He is live. I'm not going to say he's in charge. Strong, wearing his Detroit Lions t-shirt. Still, you should be mourning the end of the Detroit Lions. That was quick.
This is Detroit. We back, baby.
Hey. Come and gone. The Green Bay Packers. I'm with you on that. Anyway, this is not an NFL podcast. It is an NBA podcast. Good to have you, BJ. You are in high spirits. That's always good to see. Shane, our producer, decided to join us after the kids had to enjoy the ceremony celebrating their straight A's. Congratulations, Shane. Congratulations to the little people as well. But let's get on to the first quarter of Four Quarters of Madness. We're going around the league, and I wanted to hit this right away because the commissioner, Adam Silver, brought this up going over to London. And as we know, the NBA is very conscious of how their game is being consumed and addressing any concerns that viewers and consumers might have. The latest is that there's talk by Adam that the game needs to be sped up, especially in the final minutes, because games are starting to drag out. Now, I wanted to get to this a little bit anyway, because we have all of the instant replay and checking. And BJ, I know what a purist you are. We often talk about how the game has been manipulated for business purposes. How do you feel about what I would say is artificially speeding up the game because people may be tuning out?
Well, over the holidays, something very unique happened. I have a teenage son.
Oscar. Named after?
You know, Oscar. He's the original Oscar.
The Big O.
He's Oscar the Grouch.
So it wasn't Oscar Robertson.
No.
This is a Sesame Street thing. Okay.
So I call him. He doesn't pick up, which is fine. I call him again. All right, something going on. I text him. Mm-hmm. He responds immediately.
Yeah.
So I ask him when I get home, why won't you pick up the phone, but you will text? He was like, because I was doing other things. I'm on Snapchat. I'm Instagramming, and if I pick up the phone, I have to do one thing. When I heard this from Adam Silver, I thought, oh, wow, Adam's doing his research and his homework, because they realize that people aren't just going to watch television anymore because they're doing so many other things. You add a distraction to them, like a timeout where actually you have to sit and wait for 30 seconds or a minute without anything going on to look at a replay. Mm-hmm. I'm tuning out of that game. So to me, it gets right back to the business. I think Adam Silver and the NBA has figured out how people are consuming sports, and they want to get in on it because I think people are tuning out because of all of the delays and things that's going on. If you're not on these tablets, phones here, I think you're missing the boat. So I applaud what Adam Silver and these guys are doing because that's how people consume. That's how the young people do it anyway.
This is a brand new BJ Armstrong. Once upon a time, you and I would have conversations about what the NBA was doing to the game and how there wasn't enough respect for the game. Now you're all on board saying, hey, whatever the consumers want is what the consumers get.
Look, in the end, the consumer is always right. They're always right. So if this has nothing to do with the NBA, it doesn't have to do anything with me. I would prefer none of that. But in the business that we're in. That's how the consumer is consuming. I got to give them what they want.
I get that. And I certainly, I never thought I'd say this about Instant Replay. I feel as if Instant Replay is now hurting the game.
Oh, you and I both. I tune out when I see it because human error is part of sports.
Yes, this is the thing. Like, and I think that Adam and you and myself are all on the same page as far as this is concerned. We're losing the flow of the game. Number one, I would rather have a mistake and have the game moving on to the next thing as opposed to, like, let's take the time to examine it and make sure that we uncovered our mistake and we corrected it. Because here's the other part, BJ. I don't know what they're doing in that command center, but they're still not getting it right. Like, they can spend 10 minutes looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, no, you can, like, what? You still didn't get it right. So if we're not going to get it right, why are we even bothering with all the instant replays?
It's like this huge room, and it's like, you know, it's like
they
secret
got 40,
and all this.
Yeah, they got 40. It's the Death Star, right? It's like, man.
I agree. It really is just like, you know what? Every, you know, mistakes are part of it. I mean, that's part of the game. But if you have all of this and you still don't get it right, what's the point?
Yeah, here's the other part is that there's also there's no explanation. Like, because they're doing it out of the command center, we don't get an explanation in the moment when we're watching with our eyes and we come up with a conclusion and they come up with a different one. I'd like to know at the very least, okay, how did you come up with that? We're left to hear, no offense to Marv Albert or Doug Collins or anybody else, but like, they're just guessing. Like, I want to know. I don't need to guess. Let's move on. Second topic, first quarter. Really interested because the guest, I caught up with Vince Carter. You're going to hear him later in the program. And I had a chance to talk to him about being almost 40 years old and still doing some of the amazing things that he's doing. And it brought me to thinking about you because I had the opportunity to see you over the course of your entire career, but we really got to know each other as you were wrapping up your career. And we didn't really talk about this, but I know physically what you had gone through. I'm just wondering, and I wanted to bring this to light for our listeners, like what guys go through in those final years when you're trying to keep your body together to be able
right.
to play physically at the level that you're asked to play at, you know, night after night for 82 games, just what goes into that when you're not that spring chicken, when you can't just roll out of bed, when it's like, man, I got to get these old joints working. Like,
right.
what was your routine? Like, what did you have to do to be able to get your body to function against these young guns when you were no longer one of them?
It's funny. I remember the deciding moment for me is when I was spending more time getting ready to play than actually playing. No, literally, I would spend like 8 hours getting ready to play.
And what were you doing?
I'll just take you through it. So, you know, when you're young, you know, back-to-backs mean nothing to you. You know, it's just like, okay, I got 4 games in 5 nights, big deal. I would look at the schedule and I would start taking, you know, aspirin before. And they'd be like, what's bothering you? I was like, no, I'm taking it because I know I'm going to hurt tomorrow night. So I'm just going to take it before. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I would have to stretch and ice before I went to bed so that when I got up, I would just feel good enough to just get out of bed.
Yeah.
And then I would stretch and whirlpool and cold massage and whatever it is just to get ready to go to practice.
Yeah.
Then I had to stay warm doing practice because if I warmed down doing practice, I couldn't restart when the coaches were talking.
Wow.
So you learn how your body responds, but more importantly, you're just trying to get through it. You know, what? Like I said, I was spending more time preparing for the game than mm-hmm. I was playing. I was only going to play like 15 minutes at the end. I was spending literally 4 to 5 hours every day just to play those minutes. And that's the most disappointing part because your mind is still working, but your body is like, no. And if I didn't do one of those things, if I didn't do the ultrasound or the stim or missed a day of weights, I would feel it. And it was just no way to recover once I got behind the eight ball when your body starts to get that age.
How much of a mental grind was that? Like, was it the physical toll or was it the mental toll of like, I just can't move the way I used to and I got to figure things out?
You all have an ego when you're a player. If AI blew by me,
Yeah.
I was okay with that. That was Allen Iverson. If Isaiah Thomas scored 30 on me, that was okay.
Right.
And no disrespect. I'm just because his name just came to me. But if Tim Legler blew by me.
Right. Oh, damn.
I was mad at that. Like, see, okay, wait a minute.
Chang, he's got to pick out the white dude. He's
I saw it coming. You should have picked somebody else.
You could have said Ramon Sessions. You could have said Ramon Sessions.
No. Tim, and the reason I say Tim Legler was a shooter. Like, I got shooters blowing by me. Like, Michael Curry, who wasn't a scorer, for instance.
Yeah.
He gave me 25. I'm like, okay, all right, I draw the line. Right? Isaiah could give me 25. Tim Hardaway could give me 25. But Michael Curry, who hasn't scored 25 points all month, is going to give me 25. And I got the coaches saying, okay, let's ISO BJ now. But that's where I drew the line. So it's just your pride comes in and you – and I paid attention to the scouting reports. You know, if a shooter – if that's what he does and he shoots, okay. But all of a sudden now I got guys thinking they can go at me. That's where I drew the line. And that was my ego talking as a player. So I just use it as an example. Like, if Michael Curry gave me 25 – I was like, okay, we might have to move on.
We might need to shut this down.
Yeah, we need to shut this down.
Moving on to the second quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. Kid is blowing up, and the Bucks are actually moving. And I have to tell you, BJ, I'm surprised that they have made this work with him as the point guard, just because of how young he is. I've never questioned his talent. But as you know, at the point guard position, you can't just be talented. You can't just be the side piece that we go to and we take advantage of mismatches. Like, you have to organize your team. You have to make decisions.
Right.
And he has done that. The Bucks are now fifth in the East right now. They've got they're still kind of scuffling, trying to stay above 500. But I'm wondering, when you look at the numbers that he's putting up, we kind of talked about Russ Westbrook. We talked about James Harden. Where do you put the Greek Freak as far as the young talent in this league and what he's capable of?
I put him at the top of the list.
Top of the list.
There are a lot of talented young players. You can go Karl Towns. You can look at this kid Porzingis. Hmm. You can look at Anthony. There's a lot of talented young players in this league. This kid, Giannis, is making an impact on winning. Now, Jason Kidd was one of the first athletes that I saw that could function in total chaos. Jason Kidd would rebound the ball and go. I don't know what he was doing. I swear he had eyes in the back. He was throwing the ball all around. He was running around. Now, if you could slow the game down, especially early in his career.
Yeah.
But if you could let him catch it and on a missed shot, he was chaotic. When I watched this kid, Giannis, I go, Jason Kidd has recreated this environment where Giannis just plays in total chaos.
Hmm.
If you watch him, Giannis just does crazy things. Like, he's doing Euro steps.
Right.
And it's always in chaos. It's never a set play.
Right.
It's never a 5-on-5. He catches the ball, accepts a double team. He's just going and doing things and playing. This kid plays in chaos. And what I mean by chaos is when the game is disorganized, when there's nothing going on, that's when he's playing.
Well, but we have seen now end of games, need situations, game on the line, where they do put the ball in Giannis's hands. Things are static. It's not transition. And he's demonstrating that he can get, and this is what impresses me the most, he can get a spot. He can get to a spot on the floor. He looks like he has a plan.
He's growing into the job. So the fact that now they're starting to be in the end of the games with the ball in his hand and he has an opportunity to make or miss it, the fact that he's in the game on the road versus another team that's, you know, fighting for the playoffs just says to me, this kid here is making an impact on winning. So he, to me, has separated himself from the rest of the pack because he's making an impact on the bottom line, which is winning.
Do you think it's possible that he and they could get it together? Because we've seen them play against Cleveland. Cleveland has trouble with them. Are they far enough along where if we get a first round series or we get a playoff series between those two teams, or is there still too much to learn for the Bucks before they can do that?
If I was a team right now in the East, I don't want to play the Bucks because the Bucks have nothing to lose. They're supposed to lose. They're young. Look at them. They got Jabari Parker.
They didn't even make the playoffs
last. And they are a matchup nightmare. And I don't want to play against that kid because Parker could get you 25 or 30. This kid could get you 25 or 30. You know, Delly is a seasoned veteran who's not going to panic. They have shot blockers. And, you know, what do they have to lose? They were supposed to lose anyway.
Who is Matthew Dellavedova? That's the guy that you mentioned?
Oh, God.
You know what Delly is?
Delly's a white. Delly's
Shane,
a white
team. I think, okay. Shane, something's going
time
on
to go.
With this
no,
guy.
No, that's it. We're out of time. Second quarter's over. Got to go to halftime.
What are you doing? It's just a halftime.
Yes, this is my favorite part of the game.
All right, guys, this is Shane. This is the Halftime Break on the BJ and Bucher podcast. And today's Halftime Entertainment is brought to you by Tribe Called Quest, and this is their song, Electric Relaxation. This is a classic. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Honey, check it out, you got me mesmerized with your black hair and your fat thighs. Street poetry is my everyday, but yo, I gotta stop when you drop my way. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town. You got BBD all on your bedroom wall, but I'm above the rim and this is how I ball. A gritty little something on the New York street. This is how I represent over this here beat. Talking about you.
Yo, I took you out, but sex was on my mind for the whole damn route. My mind was in a frenzy in a horny state, but I couldn't drop down because you couldn't relate.
You
couldn't relate. You couldn't relate. Out your legs, let me make it ball. Drive you insane, drive you up the wall. Staring at your dome piece, very strong. Stronger than pride, stronger than Teflon. Take it on the Ave and you buy me links. Now I want a pound of until it stinks. You could be my mama and I'll be your boy.
Original road boy, never am I coy. You could be a shorty in my ill convoy. Not to come across as a thug or a hood. But hun, you got the goods like Madeline Wood. By the way, my name's Malik, the 5 foot freak. They say we get together by the end of the week. She simply said no, label me a. I said, how you figure? My friends tell me so. I hate when silly groupies wanna run their yap. Word to God, hun, I don't get down like that.
I'll have you weak in the knees that you can hardly speak. Or we could do like Uncle Ella swinging up in my Jeep. Keep it on the down, yo, we keep it discreet. See, I'm not the type of kid to have my biz in the streets.
If my mom don't approve, then I'll just elope. Let me save the little man from inside the boat. Let me hit it from the back, girl, I won't catch a hernia. Off on your couch, now you got Siemens furniture.
Shy he fight for the extra P. Stacy Beetle, PJ, and my man LG. They know the ass jack is really so on ice. The character is of man, never ever a mice. Shorty, let me tell you about my only vice. It has to do with lots of loving, and it ain't nothing nice. It ain't nothing nice.
It's time for the third quarter, and during halftime, we were having a scuffle in the locker room. Because BJ is complaining about stuff I don't understand. For those new to the program, and if you're not following us on Twitter, you can at BJ and Bucher, or follow what's your
hey,
Twitter handle?
You know what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Shane, can we start issuing out fines for people? You know what? Commissioner Shane, I need
what
you to start
you
issuing out
what
fines
are you talking
now.
About?
You know what I mean? Like, if guys aren't going to play, we need to get fines. We got to get some structure here. I mean, this is like ridiculous.
All right, we're in the third quarter, and the loser of the trivia challenge in the third quarter, which is every third quarter, has to put out a meme that basically shows them being knocked out. For the last 2 weeks, BJ has won the trivia
I didn't hear
challenge.
You. Sorry, you cut out on me for what?
Yeah,
what'd
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, you BJ won the last 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Last week was legit. The previous week is under review because there was a little.
Oh, you're like the NBA. Oh, God, you're under review. Oh, God.
That's right.
Shane.
That's right.
Shane.
Yeah,
this is.
We may have to pull that back.
He's under review. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're in the command center. We're not sure about 2 weeks ago. We'll get back to you. That said, I tweeted out, Shane, you can back me on this. I tweeted out the meme that has him knocking me out in some sort of video game. I tweeted it out because, Shane, I want to thank you. Man, you gave me some pecs.
Rick liked
on that
the pecs. He liked the pecs.
Dude, I'm looking strong. I might have got knocked out, but I look good going down. All right, let's see who goes down this week. BJ, I'll start. When I retired, I had more games logged than any other player, scored over 20,000 career points, and won 3 rings as part of the Celtics' Big Three. Who am I? Here are your 4 choices. Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, Bill Walton, or, I can't believe you added this, Shane, Greg Kite. I think it's automatically down to 3.
Pretty much.
I want to say the Big Chief. I love the Big Chief.
Man, you are on a roll.
Robert Parrish.
You are correct, sir.
Hey, you know, can we talk a little bit about Robert Parrish? He is one of my favorite people of all time.
Can I tell you one of the last times I talked to the Chief?
I mean, just say that. Put some respect on that.
Some respect on that.
That's Mr. Chief. Hey, I mean, he's... some respect on that, Rick Bucher.
I respect him to no end for this very conversation that we had. Because I asked him as diplomatic a way as I could, because he had gotten popped. He'd had like some cannabis. He'd had something like FedEx to him or whatever. And it was discovered. They had the security dogs at the postal office or whatever. So I said to him, I said, do you subscribe to the medicinal benefits of marijuana? And the chief is sitting there, and you know that face, right? That face kind of peers up at me, and he goes, "Not publicly, I don't." oh, so good.
He was one of my favorite, I mean, of all time. Like,
right.
God, he was so funny. All right, no, it's a number 2. I'm sorry, we got a little distracted. All right, right, here we go. Some consider me the best defender of all time and one of the top centers of my day.
Mm-hmm.
I've won more titles with one team than most big men have won over their whole career.
Okay.
Who am I? A, Wilt Chamberlain. B, Bill Russell. C, Bob Lanier. D, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Well, I got to go with the one, the only. We're talking about Bill Russell.
Absolutely right.
All right. Shane's taking pity on us. I think our batting average hasn't been very high on the trivia, so he's given us some layups. We are definitely in the layup line.
Simple layup
right
line.
Now.
That's it.
I'll take it. I'll take it, Shane.
Here we go. I am over 7 feet. And won 7 scoring titles over my career. Who am I? George Mikan, Shaquille O'Neal, Wilt Chamberlain, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Ooh, say that again, Rick. I'm over 7 feet.
You're over 7 feet tall.
Yes.
You won 7 scoring titles over your career. Who are you? George Mikan, Shaquille O'Neal, Wilt Chamberlain, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Quit typing, BJ.
Yeah, hey, hey.
I'm not typing. I'm just George, Shaq, who else?
Wilt, and Kareem. What are you looking
Here's
at?
Here's my hands.
Why am I looking at your hands? I'm looking at both your hands. What are you doing?
He reserving another one of the 5-star rooms.
Look at this okie doke thing. He puts up one hand like that's going to convince me he's not typing. Like he can't type with one hand. Wow.
Oh my God.
So, God, this is a tricky one. So I'm over 7 feet tall. It can't be George Mikan then. He wasn't over 7 feet tall.
Okay, we're picking on the white guy again. You talk about a theme, man. Damn.
Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. So it couldn't be Kareem. He didn't win like multiple. It could be Wilt though. But say it one more time. Rick.
I am
say it
over
one more time.
7 feet tall, and I won 7 scoring titles over my career. Who am I? Give me an answer. Good Lord.
This is a tough one.
Hey, okay. Shane.
It can't be Shane.
Shane. Yeah, and No, Shane. Hey, Shane.
It's taking him forever because he's looking up the dance.
I've never seen anybody so afraid of losing right now in my life. Like, just give me a damn answer.
Pull the trigger,
BJ. You were a shooter, man. Kareem, I just swung the ball to you. I need you to take the shot. Shot clock is about to expire.
Oh, Lord.
And what's that? Mike.
Mike and Shaq, Wilt, Kareem. Pick one.
It can't be Shaq's. It can't be Shaq. Shaq, it wasn't Shaq.
That was incorrect.
Wait a minute. I didn't say
not
anything.
Shaquille O'Neal.
I didn't you say said anything. I said it can't be Shaq. I said it can't be Shaq. I said that. I just said it.
It's under protest
no,
now.
No, it's can't. I said it can't. I said it can't be Shaq. It can't be.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, hold on.
We got to edit this thing. We're not supposed to take 15 minutes when it comes to the.
Hey, man, I'm trying to think this all the way through. It can't be, you know.
I'm trying to Google it all the way through. Come on, man. We know what you're doing.
It's either.
Dude, this is the funniest crap, man.
Will's the leading scorer of all time. I'm going with Will.
Kareem's the leading scorer of all time. What are you talking about?
I mean, Will, I'm going with Will. I'm going with the Big Dipper. He got the highest scoring average. I'm going with the Big Dipper. Who we got?
Next, what's your question?
Did I get it?
Of course you got it.
Oh, okay,
you guessed everybody. I mean, eventually.
Hey.
As soon as I say, no, that's not it. Yo, I didn't guess that. I'm guessing the next one.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Shay. Roll the tape, Shay. Roll the tape, Shay.
Oh, get out of here. All right. Get out of here. Yeah, I see you. I see you.
Will. Hey, Rick. Check me out, man. Okay, here we go. Many different centers have won the NBA MVP award in their careers. Which combination have won it at least twice?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
A, Malone, Russell, Abdul-Jabbar, Chamberlain, Duncan. B, Abdul-Jabbar, Chamberlain, O'Neal, Duncan. Or C, Unseld, O'Neal, Chamberlain, Walton, Abdul-Jabbar. Wait a minute, I got to see your hands. Put your hands
dude,
up.
Dude, I couldn't you Google gotta, this. There's so many names. I couldn't possibly Google this.
Hey.
Are you kidding me?
You got to put
I
your
got
hands
a notepad
up, dude.
And I got
a... Hey. No.
Can you give me those names again?
Oh, God.
The dude who just took 10 minutes to answer one question is sweating.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Because I asked him to repeat the question.
But I got it right. So it was worth it.
To you, well, not to anybody
okay,
else.
Can I go? Can I go here?
Yeah.
Malone.
Yeah.
Russell.
Yeah.
Abdul-Jabbar, Chamberlain, Duncan.
Wait a minute. That's five.
Yeah.
Five guys?
Then I have Abdul-Jabbar, Chamberlain, O'Neal, Duncan.
That's only four.
Okay. And then the next one is Unseld, O'Neal, Chamberlain, Walton, Abdul-Jabbar.
All the money is riding on this one.
I got the answer and I got it wrong.
Wait a minute. You didn't believe Shane? Or what? I'm gonna go with the second one. Kareem Wilt,
that is
Shaq
correct.
And Duncan.
They had 1,396,294 votes to snag second place.
What?
Ignore that. I left that in there.
This is what Shane. This is what the producer said.
By the way,
so now you and I let's tag Shane because
ignore
he put that there.
Yeah,
you know. Shane,
oh, whatever. Look, I'm being the commissioner, if I'm going to be the commissioner, your third answer is off because you guessed four times.
Hey,
so
but first of all,
I'm going to run this tiebreaker.
BJ, Shane's kids got the straight edge. Okay, they
I didn't get the straight A's. So you need to ignore that part.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty funny.
All right, so we got a tiebreaker, guys. All right, so this is going to be real simple. Just, you know, first person to answer it correctly. You only get you get one chance to answer it, and then I'm going to move on to the second tiebreaker question. All right. So try to get it right on the first one. Which player did not make the NBA's 2015-16 first team? A, Russell Westbrook. B, Kevin Durant. C, Kawhi Leonard. Or D, DeAndre Jordan.
I'm going to say Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I would say the same.
Nope. So we're going to strike Russell off. One more answer. One more try. So we got left Durant, Leonard, and Jordan.
It's definitely not Jordan. Jordan made it. I know Jordan
made it. I'm
going
to say Kevin Durant.
All right, I go Kevin Durant.
Right. Y'all both got that one. All right, he's actually second team honors, not first team honors. Let's do the second question. So the second question is, who led the league in two-point field goal attempts last season? James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, Brooke Lopez, or Dwayne Wade?
DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I would say the same.
Y'all both right. So this one ended in a tie.
All right. So now let's move on to the fourth quarter. I had a chance to catch up with Vince Carter with the Memphis Grizzlies. He's about to turn 40 years old. More half man, half amazing than ever before, because we're seeing him at nearly 40, still getting it done. Obviously, his game has changed. He's the minutes are not the same. He's not the same high flyer, but I've been really impressed by the way that Vince has been able to hold it together. So here is my interview with Vince Carter after the Grizzlies beat the Golden State Warriors in overtime after trailing by 24 in regulation. Here for the BJ and Bucher podcast with the one, the only Vince Carter. We were just talking about, BJ and I were just talking about you and your longevity and your ability physically to do it. We're like, Benjamin, he's got to be Benjamin Button. Like, I'm sure you're asked this all the time, but when you look at what you're still able to do, does it feel different to you? I mean, do you physically feel different, or do you feel like any given day I can still be pretty close to what I was?
Well, I don't know about the quick and springy part of it.
Yeah.
Score, where I can put points in a hurry. I can still do that. I just play the game. I think what's helped me is, first of all, I still love playing. Mm-hmm. I still love competing. I still love putting the work in to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't just look at it as, okay, I've been around, so I have a job.
Right.
My approach every summer, whether I have a contract deal or not, is I need to be ready to go to play for a spot. Mm-hmm. And I think by me doing that pushes me and makes me, you know, each and day, because I have a gym in my house, and I can walk by my gym like it's a chair, and I can look at it like, all right, and keep going.
Yeah.
But I know if I do that, some young guys will take my spot.
Right.
So my goal the day before, let's say the night before, I said, okay, I'm going to get up and work out 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Some mornings, it's just tough, and I know that, but by the time 5 o'clock gets there, p.m. in the evening, I said, I got to get it in. So I'll work out at night.
Okay.
So I'll get it in.
You know, I got you. I got you.
It's a little tougher. It's a little more challenging, but I still enjoy it. I still enjoy the challenge, and, you know, for every day I miss, you know, I'll make it up on the back end. You know, I make sure I get it. Four or five times a week all summer.
Okay.
Believe it or not. And I'm not talking about high intensity
right
in the beginning, but I have to do something. When you play, and of course, you know, if you get out of bed, you're trying to play at 39, 40 years old, you have to keep the body sharp as possible, as long as possible. I don't play as much pickup in the summer.
Okay.
So it's more so maintenance.
What, stretching? And
more stretching. Yoga now, cryo, all of the different methods of stretching that they do now, all this stuff, like, it all means something to me, and I have to do it quite a bit.
Okay.
But it's a part of my routine, which I don't mind doing.
Yeah.
When I hate doing that,
mm-hmm.
or when I just doesn't,
when it's a grind,
fire,
when it's, yeah,
it's just like a burden.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I'm gonna walk away.
Yep. That makes sense. Hurt. What's the one thing that you were told early on by a coach, by someone in your development as a player, that you still draw on today? Like, you go back to that thing, might have been a saying, it might have been a practice, it might have been like something that...
It's so many, especially over the years, but I will say this, I think your love for... He said to me, your love...
Who's that?
I can't remember. I'm putting coaches together. But this person told me, he said, your love for the game will carry you as far as you want to go.
Hmm.
And I was like, all right, yeah, I love playing, so whatever.
when, how old were you when this...
I mean, this was early in my career, so...
Okay.
I mean, when you're getting.
I mean, high school? Or in the NBA. NBA. Okay.
I'm thinking NBA.
Okay. All right.
I mean, of course, I mean, I can go back to Dean Smith. I mean, this is my preparation. He had so many, so it's hard to pick.
Yeah.
My love, your love for the game will carry you through for as long as you want to do it. And now that I'm here, my love for the game is what's keeping me here.
Yeah.
What's motivating me to, get here before the first bus, before the first guy's here. I'm already here. I get my shots. I get my stretching. I get all of the crap that I have to do.
Yeah.
All the stuff that I have to do before the game is a part of my routine, and I'm willing to do whatever.
Last thing. You and your career and BJ's actually intersected at one point. So I'm just wondering, did you dunk on him? Did you get him? Do you remember getting him?
I don't remember dunking on him.
Okay.
If so, he got out of the way.
Hey. you don't remember because he wasn't in the picture.
Yeah, he probably got out of the way. Yeah, more than
likely. All right. Vince, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Appreciate the time.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, BJ, so Vince wasn't able to answer the question. I'll ask you, because if it happened, I guarantee you that you remember it. Did VC, Vinsanity, throw one down on you?
Well, when Vince came in the league, I was already old.
Right. I think there was only one year.
Yeah.
Your last season, that was the only year that intersected. That was his
first
season.
So I think I came
season.
Into the league, I was jumping at about 4 inches.
Yeah.
And then by the end, I was like negative. You know what I mean? The guy was like, I couldn't even take a charge, you know? So
I'm not saying you tried to go up and dunk it. I just think, so you were so, you couldn't even get out of the way? Like,
I couldn't even get out of the way. So I'm sure Air Canada may have gone over me at a different altitude. I mean, he was just dunking everything. So I'm sure Air Canada, you know, he graced my presence. Yeah. You know, but because I wasn't jumping,
right.
I probably didn't get in the shot. So it's probably no video coverage, you know, because, the camera probably, there was a reason he was twisting around. He was probably jumping around, over me. You know, I was probably Frederick Weiss. I was probably him before, but I just wasn't tall
so
enough.
So your head wasn't even in the picture.
To get into the camera. Yeah.
I got that.
So, but he was, he had an amazing career. Yes, we all talk about how terrific athlete he is, but Vince was a terrific basketball player.
So I was on a trip. I was on a Nike trip with him to China, and this was at the height of his powers, and he was doing an exhibition, and people wanted to see him dunk. And his people were saying, "Dunk, do you think, Vince, do you think you can pull off the 720? Mm. Not a 360, not a 480, a 720. Mm. And I forget what gym we were in. He pulled it off.
Wow.
Two full leapt, two full revolutions, and threw it down. And it was interesting because Vince approached dunks at that point like it was just a math equation. Like it was just something for him to figure out. Not whether he could do it or not, but just how was I going to be able to do it. So there you go. That was my interview with Vince. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Remember, if you're listening on iTunes, you can subscribe to the show. Please rate and leave us a review. It's the only way that we get to know exactly what you're thinking about the show and how we might be able to improve it. Don't forget to check out bjandbuecher.com. That's where we have the podcast. We're going to have other written material there. I will be writing for that spot as well. And you can follow us on Twitter @BJandBuecher. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.